Hey, everybody, I'm Heather Dubrow.
And I'm Dr. Terry Dubrow.
Every Friday, check out my podcast, Heather Dubrow's World.
We also have a brand new show, The Dr. and Mrs. Guinea Pig Show, every Tuesday.
So don't forget iTunes and Podcast One. Tune in to Dr. and Mrs. Guinea Pig on Tuesdays and Heather Dubrow's World every Friday.
Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who has gotten all the mirrors and lasers straightened out in his house. I'm Rob Sestrino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to our Big Brother OTT recap here for Friday night, November 11th. A very happy Veterans Day to all of you veterans who are out there who have served our country. Thank you for your service, and hopefully we can entertain you with some coverage of the BB OTT. All right, so I'm very excited to have, I have both Taryn Armstrong and Alex Kidwell here. They have actually been in sequester the last 72 hours since we did our last podcast, and I'm about to reveal to them the results of the presidential election. Taryn,
yep.
Yes, are you ready? Are you ready to find out?
I don't know if I'll ever be ready, Rob.
Alex, are you ready that I'm going to reveal to you the only two people left now that the BBOTT house guests have learned the election results. Now, you two are the only people that are left.
Well, hurry up and tell me so I can get out of this room.
Okay. Whoever here thinks that Gary Johnson won the election, raise your hand. Anyone? No. Very exciting week in the Big Brother house, to say the least. Surely, yes. Maybe the only thing that could potentially rival the political news this week was a jam-packed in the 72 hours since we last left on Tuesday. Boy, a lot has changed, both in the United States and in the Big Brother OTT house, because we had our double eviction, which was really jam-packed. We had another HOH battle, which was contested. The house guests found out that Donald Trump won the election on Thursday, and we had reaction to that. So a lot of stuff to talk through. Hashtag RHAP as we go through all of this here on a Friday evening. So excited to talk that through with you. And Taryn, I also have some news for you and the listeners of Rob Has a Podcast.
Yeah, I know. I spent like the last half hour trying to bribe you into not doing this, but to no avail.
No, to no avail. And so what we have, as we have continued our So You Think You Can podcast competition, that Team Brent, Team Alex, Team Taryn, they've all been going along with daily podcasts to fill the time in between Rob Has a Podcast and Happy Hour. Great shows all around. Unfortunately, it's time to lose someone from Team Taryn, and I will try to do it much less dramatically than Julie Chen revealed the presidential election. Okay.
Thank God for that. I don't know if my heart can take it.
Thank God for that. Again, I want to try to rip the Band-Aid off as quickly as possible, because everybody did such a great job. But Taryn, on Monday night, you hosted your show with Jen, John, and Melissa, and the Rob Has a Podcast listeners voted. And I'm very sad to say that Jen will not be moving on to round number two, Taryn.
It's very unfortunate. I thought Jen did a really good job. This is entirely my fault. I picked three people that were way too good to all be on the same team. And it's unfortunate that she has to leave. But I'm glad that the other two have made it through, because I think all three of them are amazing.
Okay, so in round two action, Taryn will be back with John and Melissa. One of them will move on to the semifinals. And when will that next show be, Taryn?
It'll be Monday at 7 again. Or 7 Eastern, I should say.
Monday at 7 Eastern. And then on Saturday, Alex Kidwell will be back with his team. Three people left in Team Alex.
That's right. Saturday at 3. We're still going 3 strong. We're like the tribe on Survivor that enters the merge up in numbers.
You're up in numbers, but it'll be a double eviction for Team Kidwell, Kidwell's Corner, after this week. So be sure to tune in on Saturday to watch that vote. And then on Tuesday night, we will be eliminating two people from Team Alex Kidwell.
Yeah, thanks, Rob. You really brought my spirits down markedly there.
Look, those are the breaks. And then the graduate from Team Alex, Team Brent, and Team Taryn will be on a very special happy hour with Jordan Parhar, the three of them together. So looking forward to how that's all going to play out. But let's get back to the OTT. All right. So let's just work backwards a little bit. Taryn, we haven't had you on a podcast since the double eviction. Can you just take us through your quick reactions to everything from Wednesday night?
Sure. Well, it was a very interesting night, actually, because I had been tweeting out advice for fans of certain players. Like, if you're a fan of Shelby, don't give Morgan the care package because that'll doom Shelby to eviction. And wow, I was wrong. I did not anticipate that the veto was going to be able to save both Morgan and Shelby. I think a lot of people didn't anticipate that. I would have really liked for those rules to have been cleared up. But, you know, it is what it is. And it went down the way that it did. It felt to me like I was a part of a Big Brother twist. Like I got a twist handed to me, like, oh man, they're both safe all of a sudden. I mean, I feel bad that I gave bad advice, but it was crazy. And it definitely led to an entertaining outcome.
Yeah.
With Danielle having to choose between her allies. And then, you know, sort of flipping at the last second to save Justin instead of Whitney, and led to some interesting outcomes. And then after all of that, the HOH with the mirrors.
Well, let's just reset the veto thing, because there might be some people who are listening to this who didn't listen to any of our other coverage, because we've talked about at length that the care package this week was going to be a veto. And with Jess, Shelby, and Morgan left from the Ball Smashers, that it looked to be a very dire situation for them. Even if Morgan got the care package, or Shelby could have gotten it also, that was the first rule change, which came down, that everybody was eligible for this care package. So once Alex went out in the first part of the double eviction, it looked to be pretty dire that you figured either Shelby or Morgan was going home no matter what. And I actually came into this rather late in the game, where Danielle had already won the HOH and everybody was just sitting around in the living room. And I presume, just like in a typical double eviction on a Big Brother night, where we have the HOH, whoever wins HOH, then instantly within like 5 minutes, 10 minutes, we're going to have our nominees. And I was watching that and I just assumed Shelby and Morgan were on the block waiting for the care package, waiting for the veto to come down. And because I had been doing Survivor Know-It-Alls, I just like got into it and figured, okay, well, oh, Danny won HOH. And so that's who's on the block. I didn't know that no nominees had been made. And so everybody in the live chat room, when I'm watching the feeds that I was in, was going nuts when she got the veto. I'm like, I don't get it. I don't understand. Why is everybody so excited? But it turned out that they gave out the veto before nominees came down, and that's the part that really had not been stressed in the description on CBS.com. Alex, just to reset your take on this, did you feel like that this was grossly unfair? Did you feel like that this was all fair in BBOTT?
Yeah, I don't think it's fair, but I don't think any of this stuff really has been fair. That's kind of my take on it. I think if you want to take fault with anything, take fault with the cluster that was the confusion of the day between, as you, the thing you referenced earlier in the day about, you know, putting a line in the, first of all, making the whole thing hard to find. Like, you've got to dig in the CBS website just to find the information on this stuff. And then, like you said, they added this line about anyone can get it. Then they retracted the line. And then all this confusion with the ruling on it. I mean, the wording just could have been clearer and we could have avoided all of this. It's unfortunate how it happened, but I don't believe, the people that are saying that CBS is trying to engineer an outcome. I think that I fall short of buying into that theory.
Yeah, I certainly couldn't see it. I mean, I wasn't very upset about it, but it does come off as a little fugazi coming on the heels of, oh, did we mention the fact that everybody is able to get this care package? Why? Why did we need, like, if the whole game was all season long, that anybody can do it? But although I would feel like that I might argue that it seems like more that it was they changed the rules to save Jason. Taryn, would you agree with that or no?
I honestly don't think they changed the rules. I think that they had planned on doing this beforehand and it went the way it went. They just didn't describe it properly.
They planned on making this veto able that anybody could have gotten it. If that was the case, why wasn't that set up front? If the rule is that once you get a care package, you're ineligible for getting a care package, why not have in sort of big bold letters, actually the sixth care package, everybody is able to get that one.
Well, that was actually a false thing that somebody had accidentally put that was
hopefully
true.
Hopefully someone and then they had gotten in trouble for that one.
Yeah, they had to retract it. It wasn't true that anybody was eligible. It was just the people who hadn't received care packages.
Oh, so who put that out there?
I believe it was somebody at CBS.
Somebody at CBS said that?
And then retracted it later. Yeah.
Yeah, it may have been like an article that somebody had written like... just not realizing the rules. And then obviously when it started spreading, it was caught and they went back and they retracted it.
Wow, it was from CBS. This is insane. This is crazy.
Yeah, no, I mean, somebody has control of the website that shouldn't have control of the website is really like my biggest takeaway from this is that like wording was terrible. And these rules are so confusing that they're confusing themselves. The rule makers are confusing themselves. And if they can't even keep track of their own rules, then yes, we are all in trouble. That's what's going to happen.
What the heck?
Yeah. Did they say that they were hacked? Is that Taryn? Is that what's going on here?
Yeah, by some Russians. I don't know where they got that idea.
Yeah, well, that's nuts. And so then we ended up in this situation where we had... where Morgan won the veto, then because she had the veto before nominations, she was ineligible to go up on the block. Danny doesn't waste a nomination on Shelby, only to have Morgan take her down. And so they ultimately come up with a plan. And for a little while, it looked as though Justin was going to be out of the game. Taryn, at any point, did you think that was going to be the case before ultimately they came to their senses and voted out Whitney?
I did think it for a little bit because they were convinced. And I was curious about it because I figured when Danielle was talking with the girls about taking out Justin, I thought there's no way Jason lets this happen. But then when she talked to Jason about it, he was in agreement for a short period of time. And I was like, wow, we might actually lose Justin here. But then he eventually turned around to how I would figure he would think about it and decided, well, no, we should take out Whitney instead.
Okay. So ultimately, Whitney goes home, and do we want to just give a quick BB eulogy for Whitney, Alex? Any final thoughts on Whitney?
I expressed them a bit at the last show that we did, the Wednesday night show. I think ultimately Whitney, it was easy for me to forget sometimes that she's 21 because she was very composed and mature in a lot of ways. But I think you really saw it in the double eviction where she had like precious little time to try to work something or make something happen. And she just kind of froze with fear. And I think that is kind of a product of age and not having enough life experience. And ultimately, she seems like someone who I always knew she would be better regular Big Brother. I just don't know how much better. She did in a lot of ways remind me of Nicole on her first attempt, though. So I wonder what it would be like if Whitney was able to like come back and play the regular game. It might be interesting.
We were talking about on Tuesday, Whitney's gameplay, savvy game player or somebody who was just sort of like going with the flow. I think probably we have to side more with the latter, Taryn. Would you agree?
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I had been saying that I thought her game was all along. And this is the danger of playing that kind of game. It can look impressive when nothing goes wrong, but when something does go wrong, she doesn't have the tools to fix it. And that's what happened.
Okay.
It blew up in my face.
Is fastest a word?
Yes. So then we get to Wednesday night still, and we go right into this HOH competition where we have to put together, complete a puzzle with lasers and mirrors, and we get to another contentious situation here in the BBOTT fandom. Alex, can you set up what the issue was with the HOH competition?
Sure. So we get the HOH going and it's kind of like this Indiana Jones, Raiders type situation where you're moving these mirrors around to guide the laser through a path to get it from the start line to the finish point where it lights up a box. So as people are going through, everyone's doing the competition and it seems like at a point, either a mirror is broken. You can tell, I've watched video footage. You can tell that from the beginning of Shelby's run, one of her mirrors is broken. Shelby was the last to go. And Shelby is having an issue with the mirror that really alters the shot. The mirror keeps like directing the laser upwards. So she's unable to complete it properly. You know, she has it in the right location, but it's directing the laser somewhere it shouldn't. So she takes it out. She's like rearranging her whole setup based on something that shouldn't be occurring. So because of this, she was the last to go. Jason has set the time to beat. Big Brother's decision ultimately was to, you know, Shelby's at a time that's almost at Jason's, but they tell her to stop because of these mirror issues that are clearly having a problem. And then they decide they're going to rerun it the next day with Shelby and Jason. They run it again last night. Shelby goes first and sets a really good time. Jason then goes and is having problems with his mirror. Although it seems like Jason's problems with the mirror didn't start until like the 4:20 something mark. Shelby had already set a time of like 4:03. So they ultimately give it to Shelby with the idea that Jason, even if he is having malfunctions, his malfunctions didn't come into play until after he would have already lost to Shelby. But the bottom line, Rob, is if like breaking a mirror is 7 years bad luck, CBS is in for a lot, like decades and decades of rough times ahead.
That, is that how we will have many, many more years of BBOTT? Is that what happened?
Well, I don't know if that's bad luck for them. Yeah. I don't know. I'd have to see the bottom line. But
Taryn, so with all of the controversy going on, have you been following any of the protests on the news? Many people flocking to the streets with signs, hashtag not my HOH.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty crazy. And, you know, there are still a lot of people who believe that this was an unfair outcome, that they shouldn't have replayed the HOH. I imagine most of the people that think that are fans of Jason or his allies. As it was pointed out in previous podcasts, there have been videos that have shown that Shelby's mirror was broken from the start and that she had issues with it before the amount of time that it took for Jason to complete his puzzle. And you know, in this situation, again, as Alex pointed out, Shelby completed it faster than it took for Jason's mirror to start showing any issues. So it seems like it's very fair and people should stop protesting in the streets. They should stop shooting each other over this. It's not the end of the world, guys.
Okay. All right. So that very fair words from Taryn. And so that really this is unprecedented in Big Brother. I mean, I feel like we have to go back to what Big Brother Canada 1 to have a similar circumstance, Alex.
Yeah, I mean, this did come up a couple times in Big Brother Canada 1 where we had to go to the tape for the HOH. And it's something that people have speculated like should have happened in past seasons where like there was potentially contentious results. But yeah, this is the first time that, you know, certainly since I've been an avid Big Brother fan that this has really come up in the U.S. version of any iteration of this game.
Mm-hmm. Now, how much of an outrage was there even from Wednesday night into Thursday that they were going to replay the competition, Taryn?
Well, within the house, there was outrage from Jason, who assumed that this was a win taken away from him. Although some of his allies were saying, well, maybe we actually caught a break here. Maybe Shelby would have beaten him. We can't really know. And that's really the truth. We can't really know. But yes, there was definitely still a lot of outrage. This was even before that video had been posted. So there were a lot of people who were under the assumption that there was no way Shelby could have won anyway. And that it was dumb that she was getting another shot. And it was unfair that only Jason and Shelby were playing and not everyone, because they have done that in past seasons in All Stars when everyone competed again with the faulty buzzer. So yeah, there was a lot of upset people.
Okay. All right. But Shelby is the HOH and we move on from there. I mean, Alex, is Jason on tilt because of this or has he just moved on and conceded the HOH to Shelby?
Mixed bag. He's had moments where he's kind of broken down and gotten really frustrated. It's definitely an outcome that's frustrating. I can understand being frustrated in that spot. It looked like he won and then he had to redo it. And then now he hasn't won. So, I mean, just purely from a, you know, at face value, that's irritating. He has had a couple moments that aren't necessarily great looks where he's saying like, you know, I just can't catch a break again and stuff like that. And
of course, Morgan gets picked to play in veto because nothing ever goes my way in this game.
That's right.
Right. And like, that's the kind of thing where it's like, even if you say it, the nature of this game with America voting, like it's, you have to try to rein it in, I guess, as best you can. Like, what else can you do? But the more you say stuff like that, like I have seen people on Twitter being like, Jason, get over it already, which, man, tough to do. But yeah, if you want to win this game, I guess that's something you have to try to do. But, you know, to his credit, he hasn't just like spent his time wallowing. He's actually trying to put in work today. It's just unfortunate for him that he put in a lot of work to, you know, shoot himself in both feet last week. And now he's trying to like hastily bandage himself up.
Okay. Well, then let's talk about where we go from here. So Shelby is the HOH. We have an America's nominee coming up this week. Taryn, how will the safety ceremony go from here?
Well, as in like who's going to be put up?
Well, what is it? We have two people that are going to be named safe on Saturday and then one person named safe on Sunday, or do I have it backwards?
I imagine it'll be two and then one, okay. But I'm not sure.
Okay, so let's start to talk about names. So, all right, I know that Morgan will probably be one of the people that will be safe, but does Shelby have a target, Taryn?
Yes, right now, Shelby is planning on targeting Danielle.
Okay, a Danielle target. And Alex, who does she want on the block with her?
Jason.
Danielle and Jason on the block. And then, of course, we have an America's nominee. So is this a big week for the late night Jamboree fans to put Morgan up on the block, Taryn?
Yes. However, it's not as clear cut as it appears because the late night Jamboree has started to turn inwards and start to eat one of their own. Yes. So Shelby and Morgan were talking with Justin, and Justin essentially proposed a deal like, hey, I'm up for anything. And basically just was like, hey, let's just take out, Danielle. I'll work with you guys. Chrissy will be on board, and they have formed this final four alliance. Justin and Chrissy don't plan on sticking with them to the final four, but they do plan on taking Danielle out, or at least Justin does. So if Morgan does go up at the moment, Justin plans on taking her down if he wins the veto in order to take out Danielle.
Morgan was smart to let Justin name the alliance. That's a good move. Justin's the kind of guy who's like on board if you let him name the alliance.
Yeah,
right?
What do you name it?
Jambalaya Gang.
That's too close to Jamboree. I think that I would throw out Jambalaya Gang.
As soon as he left
really
the room,
J-names.
They were like, I don't even know how to spell Jambalaya. I'm like, I don't care. We're in alliance. It's good. Okay. But
so the Jambalaya Gang is Justin, Chrissy, Shelby, Morgan, correct?
Correct. Yep.
Now, this is very interesting to me in terms of BBOTT, whereas, you know, we have this alliance, which I guess is sort of like the exterminators to some degree, where we have these people that are sort of from different sides, but coming together to form something here in the late stages of the game. However, that America is privy to this, and so are the Jason fans, and so are the Danielle's fans, who may not like this. And so is there any sort of counter-strike measure that's happening in the fan base, Alex, where will people put Justin on the block for doing this if you're a Danielle fan?
Potentially, although the thing that's interesting here is that they were the last ones to approach with any kind of a deal. Like this is after hours and hours and hours of Jason, Danielle, individually and together, talking to Shelby and Morgan up in the room. I mean, Jason and Danielle were pitching deals forever, and one of Jason's selling points was that they're not going to offer you anything. So I know I've burned you many, many times, and I burned you terribly last week for no reason, but I'm offering you something. They're not going to offer you anything. And ultimately, Chrissy did come up, start some dialogue, then convince Justin to finally go up. I think Justin was just resigned to the idea, like, man, those girls are going to nominate me no matter what I do. I'm just going to try to win the veto. But like Chrissy kind of enlightened him the idea, like, you know, they seem like they're really gung-ho about getting after Danny and Jason after the way they, you know, faked that Final Five deal last week. I bet if you just go up there and put in like 5 minutes of conversation and Justin's like, oh, no, I don't want to do this. You got her mind made up. And Chrissy's like, ah, I really think you should. And yeah, he goes up there and it's a very quick turnaround where Shelby's like, I know you hate me, but he's like, I don't know. I don't hate you. It's cool. And like it kind of breaks down some of these barriers that have existed and kept people from even beginning to talk game for like weeks. We've seen more game today maybe than we have like the rest of the season put together in some ways.
Yeah, Taryn, is this sort of like the final straw that the idea to sort of snow over the ball smashers before the veto this past week by Jason Danielle was a poor idea?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it should be noted.
Look, I've heard arguments the other way about like why it was a really strong idea.
I don't know who's telling you that, Rob. Is it Brent? I bet it's Brent.
It wasn't Brent.
I mean, basically, Jason and Danielle both went up to Shelby and Morgan and proposed work with us, take out Justin. He's a big threat and we'll take you to the end. And Shelby and Morgan were like, this is like the fifth time in a row that you've done this and you've broken every single deal, including the unnecessary one when you sent Alex home. And then again, the unnecessary one where you made a deal with us to take out Justin and then 5 minutes later turned your back on the very deal that we just made. How am I ever supposed to believe you? And it's completely true. And then they were able to use the fact that Jason and Danielle were throwing Justin under the bus to solidify Justin's allegiance to this idea that, you know, we should work together. We should take out Danielle.
Yeah, they basically had a conversation with Jason and used the leverage to work Justin, kind of similar to what Jason did to Alex and Scott to use the leverage to work Whitney. So it's an interesting turnabout there.
It should be noted that this is 100% in Justin's best interests. Not only Justin's, but also Chrissy's to some extent, though I don't think she has much of a shot to win the game anyway. But it's really in Justin's best interest because you mentioned America and that this might be pissing off America. But this is the last chance for America to make a nomination and to have a vote. And basically what happens is if he's able to take out Danielle, he is guaranteed the care package. He's the only eligible person left. And that care package keeps him safe to the final four. America can't do anything about it if Justin does this. And if he gets to the final four, he has a really good chance of making it to the final three.
Okay, so let's talk about what the sides want to do. What's in their best interest in terms of America's nominee? Obviously, that you felt that prior to this, that all of the Ball Smasher fans were going to go ahead and put Chrissy up on the block. But Alex, has that changed the opinion of any of the voters? If Chrissy is now working with Shelby and Morgan, do the voters go in a different direction, or is it too late for the fan base to change what they want to do, or are people still not buying it?
Well, I don't think it's a matter of too late or not buying it so much as it's just out of options, process of elimination. You've got three nominees and six people left in the house. If Jason and Danny are the only two people not in this final four arrangement, you don't want to take away one of Shelby's, you know, nominations, or you have it messed up by the fact that you're going to, you know, target someone for the vote that Shelby's just going to nominate. So knowing that Shelby is probably going to put Jason and Danny on the block, I think it's even more of a reason for, if you're supporting Shelby and Morgan, that Chrissy makes sense. She's a safe bet to put up there. The only other real option is, you know, Morgan or Justin. Morgan is dangerous. I mean, that's an easy opportunity for the late night jamboree to just reform really quick. And Justin is a much bigger target than Chrissy, and it, you know, creates kind of a different dynamic in and of itself.
Okay. So now with just there being six people in the house, Shelby's the HOH. She can't vote. So Morgan is a voter this week and whoever's not on the block. And then depends if Chrissy is America's nominee and if she ends up coming down. So potentially only two or three people voting this week. So Morgan and Justin would both work together and vote against Danielle if that was the case, Taryn?
Yes, and it also should be noted that there is actually some reason for the two fan bases to sort of almost flip. I don't think there's a whole lot of reason for the Plastics fans to put Morgan up, but there is some legitimacy to the idea of a Danielle fan maybe putting Chrissy up, because there just recently Jason was having a conversation with Chrissy about, hey, maybe we should take out Danielle this week. Maybe if Jason is actually on board with that, if Jason thinks Morgan is a better option to take to the final three than either Danielle or Justin, which he is saying that he does believe that, then Jason is going to vote against her regardless. even if she's up on the block and then Danielle goes home. And if Morgan is nominated, that makes her a much more enticing person to bring to the end again, because it shows that she's hated and that she's not going to get votes in the end. And also, if Chrissy goes up on the block this week by America, I guarantee you she's going to take it as a sign that America hates her for flipping on her alliance, and she probably will go back.
Yeah. This is very interesting. Yeah, very, very compelling stuff here in week 7 or 8 of the BBOTT. Alex, we didn't think we would be here.
Nope, I really didn't. But, you know, yeah, I mean, and if that veto isn't what it is, we very well are not. I mean, it's probably Morgan. It's Morgan gets that care package. Shelby goes home. And then Jason is probably head of household or something right now. So, and Morgan's going home, and it's a very boring week. So this is definitely a more interesting dynamic. Obviously, if you're a fan of a member of the Late Night Jamboree, it's not what you were hoping for. But I would also posit that it's better for Jason that Shelby won this HOH for his long-term prospects than it is for him to win this HOH, because he looks pretty safe to me. I mean, he's in a little more danger now. If Danielle wins the veto now, he could be in trouble in a way that he wasn't hours ago. But if he had won this HOH, he was going to have to get some blood on his hands in a way that potentially, you know, moving forward wasn't going to be best for his game.
Yeah. Okay. So, Taryn, can you just speak to really quick how the interests of Danielle fans and Jason fans and Justin fans might be a little bit different? Like, if you're a Danielle fan this week, could you give us the plan of what you've been such a good advisor for the different fan bases this season? If I'm a Danielle fan, what am I doing with my votes?
You know, she's in danger either way. And if they want to play it safe, they should just nominate Morgan. It does put somebody else on the other side on the block. And, you know, if Vito works out, or if Jason decides he wants to keep Danielle instead of Morgan, then you're probably fine. But again, as I outlined, there is some validity to the idea that maybe you should put Chrissy up in order to scare her back to her own alliance and not present Morgan as an easy final three goat for Jason, giving him more incentive to take Danielle out over Morgan.
Yeah. And Taryn, what are the Chrissy fans doing this week?
Who?
Yeah, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. That's what I'm trying to test you. Okay. Interesting. And then what about for the Justin fan base? They're on board with also nominating Chrissy, even though she's aligned with Justin in this new four-person alliance?
I think for Justin, nominating Morgan is fine. Like, who, it doesn't really matter either way for Justin. His ideal situation is just not being up on the block himself. And so either Chrissy or Morgan goes up, that doesn't really matter to him.
Okay. It's interesting. I think if you're a Justin fan, you need to play the game for him, because he's not going to play it, you know, himself strategically, at least. So if you're trying to do the right thing, I would say it's better to nominate Chrissy, because you can help like try to shape a more ideal final three for your boy. And, you know, that's the situation. Like, if he loses Morgan this week, then he's setting himself up to go to the end with Danny and Jason. And maybe you want to script him differently, where you put Chrissy up and in so doing get rid of a Danny or Jason, and in so doing like help like force Justin to a more winnable path.
Okay, so things look good for Shelby and Morgan this week, Taryn, but is this a short-lived celebration for them? Is it entirely possible that one of them is going out at the final five almost no matter what?
Oh, yeah, very, very likely. Even if they succeed and they get Danielle out, Chrissy and Justin do not plan on flipping against Jason. Jason, they are 100% loyal to Jason, even after finding out that Jason had essentially targeted Justin. They were both like, yeah, but it was probably just a way for them to target Danielle over you.
Like, but why? Why so loyal to Jason?
It's blind loyalty. Jason is their shepherd, and they are the sheep that bow to his every command. Like, they're going against him to some extent this week, but they really are just his puppets at the moment, and they want to take him to the end, and they will get beat by him, I believe. So, like, and kudos to Jason for doing it, because he was able to throw them directly under the bus, get called out for it, and survive it. That's something that Alex wasn't able to do with Whitney.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. All right, so then next week, it's probably just a fait accompli, Alex, that somebody's going home, and it's probably Shelby, would you say?
Yeah, Shelby has certainly cemented herself now as a threat. She wasn't seen as such a couple weeks ago, but now, you know, Alex left and she was, you know, big target number one in everyone's eyes. Her leaving kind of, you know, creates a vacuum, and it has been filled by the fact that Shelby's now performed really well in each of the competitions since then. So
yeah,
hard for me to see anyone targeting Morgan over Shelby. Hard for me to see anyone, you know, turning inward again and targeting a Chrissy or someone like this before that either.
I guess what I don't understand, Taryn, is why are Chrissy and Justin so gung-ho to turn against Danielle, but not to turn against Jason?
They've never liked Danielle, Justin especially, but also Chrissy. Like she was never really a part of their original alliance. They just kind of took her in for numbers, and they've never really liked her that much. They've always talked trash about her, like all the time, and they've always considered her to be on the bottom of their totem pole. And now, especially for Justin, he feels like taking Danielle out is a great way to secure himself the care package, and I think they also feel like her ability in the competitions is getting her to be a threat in the end if she makes it there. So it's a good move for them to take her out, because I do believe if she made it to the end, she would win over them. So I think they're correctly identifying that she's both a threat and probably the person who's most willing to turn on either of them.
Have you
and
done
definitely for Justin? I mean, a factor is and always has been the fact that she picked Shane over him. Like I don't know if you remember, but in those early episodes, he was talking about being attracted to Danielle. Danielle picks Shane and then is isolated for a few weeks there, where her and Shane are just like spending a lot of time, just the two of them canoodling. And yeah, I mean, even today, Justin and Chrissy are talking privately, trying to rationalize the, you know, the quote unquote deal with the devil they've just made. And Justin is saying, yeah, if you didn't choose me at first, you didn't choose me at all. And I'm like, I know exactly. Yeah, that's, you're talking about Shane. I know what you mean. Like,
ouch.
It's funny. It keeps coming back to that, but
he's all about the ladies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. He didn't forget. Never
Justin
forget.
Scorned is a painful enemy.
Never forget. Okay. So then in terms of the polling, Taryn, when will you start conducting some polls in terms of who is American nominating?
I'll probably put one up right after the podcast and get a preliminary estimate of where people are leaning at the moment. Things could always change in the next 2 days. So we'll just get a general idea of where people are leaning and then put the actual one up as soon as voting opens.
Okay. All right. Anything else before we dive into the questions?
I do have a couple things. One is that I think that Shelby and Morgan, if they were smart, if they were able to, should take out Jason over Danielle. I think that puts them in a much better spot next week. I think that they're able to at that point say, hey, guess what? Chrissy and Justin targeted you. Justin is still worried about Danielle.
But how do they do it?
That's the thing.
Therein lies the problem.
Chrissy would need to be up and Danielle would have to win the veto or something along those lines. Or if either of them won the veto and took Danielle off, that could work, but that's a pretty big betrayal. I think it's their better move, but it's really difficult for them to pull it off, unfortunately.
See, to me, that's the most interesting. That's the most interesting this week could get, right? You could have Jason, Danny up on the block. Chrissy is America's nominee. If Danny wins the veto and then they put Justin up, I could envision a scenario where your three votes are Morgan, Danielle, and America. I could see Morgan voting for Jason, Danielle voting for Justin, and America voting for Chrissy, creating a 1-1-1 tie. I could definitely see that.
Couldn't you also reach a scenario where if you had Chrissy up on the block with Danielle and Jason without the veto being used, and then you have Morgan and Justin and then America, and it would really depend on where America went on their vote. But if Justin votes against Danielle and then Jason ends up getting the vote from Morgan, Shelby would have to break that tie, right?
Well, America would break the tie.
America breaks the tie?
Yeah, America's vote would be the third vote.
What if they put the vote on Chrissy?
Yeah, if they threw it at Chrissy.
Right. Well, I imagine, I think the Danielle fans probably carry any vote, and I think they would vote to save her.
Okay.
Interesting. By voting Jason.
By voting Jason. Okay. But I think, how would they know where Morgan's vote was going to be? How would they know Morgan was going to betray?
Well, I imagine they would have discussed it.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. All right, let's get into some of these questions. But yeah, very compelling stuff here as we approach 3 weeks left of BBOTT?
Yeah, I think so.
20, yep. What, 19 days from now until the finale? All right, let's start off with a question from Anne, who says, can you discuss Whitney's guess of siblings and her reaction to the sister twist? Impressions are welcome. So I actually didn't watch the Julie Chen video with Whitney or with Alex. Alex Kidwell, could you take us through Whitney's reaction to this?
Sure. So Julie asks, now, two of the people you were playing with were actually related this season. Oh my God, what?
What the heck?
No.
Now, who do you think?
No, you're lying to me.
Now, who do you think they were? Gosh. Shelby and Jason?
Shelby and Jason?
That's a good guess.
No.
Yeah. It would have been a great sell if those two were actually siblings all season.
Yeah.
They have not seen eye to eye on many respects.
I mean, that would have made Paul and Victor look like nothing fighting, having a pretend fight.
Yeah. Well, I guess brothers and sisters might hide crackle from each other, so
yeah,
maybe.
I guess so. I guess so. No, that was not the case. And what was her final reaction?
Shock.
Yes.
Yeah, she legitimately didn't believe. She kept saying, like, you're joking, right? Like, this is not true.
Yeah. Taryn, and then what was Alex's reaction to finding out the twist?
I mean, she was pretty shocked. She didn't realize that her sister had been there the whole time. Morgan had done a really good job of acting like she wasn't her sister. Yeah. So she was just the
mind. You would
mind
think she
blown.
Would figure it out.
I'll tell you what
you
twist.
Would think.
I'll tell you what twist. Alex was shocked. She's on Twitter now, and she tweeted. It was like her first tweet. She's shocked by the twist of Jason wiping boogers on her travel bag. Yeah.
She did not like that. She didn't care for that.
No, that's not a positive. That's not the blind side you come for, Rob.
Yeah. Okay. Anne wants to know, why is Justin's pizza video seemingly irrelevant now to Morgan and Shelby? Yeah. So this came up during the double eviction, correct, Alex?
Yeah, I mean, this has come up a lot lately. As we get closer and closer to the end, likability starts to become more of a talking point in all strategic conversations that people are having. I think they believe that Chrissy and Justin are likable, but at the same time, like I said, before making any kind of a deal with Chrissy and Justin, they were pitched at by Jason, by Danielle, by Jason and Danielle together for quite a while. And Jason was so adamant selling the idea that Chrissy is loved by America, Justin is loved by America. He was so, driving this point as a selling point for so long and so adamantly that combined with his natural inclination to not trust anything he says from last week has led them to think that Jason and Danielle are much more likable than they want us to believe. I bet they actually would win if we let them get to the end. They now are under the impression that Chrissy is probably not as liked, that she probably was being pushed along to help Jason. And as a product, maybe Justin was too. So yeah, Jason and Danny have really dug themselves a real hole that Chrissy and Justin have for the first time today actually stepped up and played some game to try to cover them up with sand a little bit.
Shelby Morgan, never forget.
Pizza. Pizza, baby.
Yeah. Although if Chrissy goes up on the block, isn't that going to just help the case? Like, oh, I guess America doesn't like these guys as much as we thought, Taryn.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think Chrissy's already a shoe-in for the final three. And I think if she's nominated, that will guarantee that. I mean, honestly, I don't see any way that Chrissy doesn't get to the final three at this point.
I mean, could we start talking about a outside chance of a Chrissy win, Taryn? What does that scenario look like?
It looks like if Jason gets his way and he gets there to the end with Danielle and Chrissy.
So there's some never Jason people, right?
There's some never Jason, some never Danielle's. And I think Jason and Danielle will split a lot of the vote. And if those all the Plastics fans say, hey, screw you guys, you had a terrible social game all season, we're going for Chrissy. It could happen.
I mean, we joked around before about what are the Chrissy fans doing, but I mean, are people warming to her? I mean, it was so loud in the middle of the season. We hate Chrissy. Chrissy has to go. She's the worst. I'd said, no, we need to keep her in the house. You guys said, no, You don't know what it's like. We have to watch her on the feeds. It's terrible.
Rob, over under 1.5 times just today that she's mentioned her bleeding hands from that comp a month and a half ago.
I'll say 2.
Yeah. I think you got 2. It's either 2 or 3, but it's definitely over just today.
It's over.
From a comp like 4 HOHs ago. We hear like that's every day. Yeah. So no, I mean, I think like, she's very frustrating and irritating on feeds. She was a have-not for 4 days, and all 4 days we freaking heard about it. Other people have been have-nots and not really said a word
I'm
about it.
I'm just checking in. I just want to know.
Yeah, no, but today, I'll give her some credit. Today, she actually played some games. She, like, swallowed her pride and went up to that bedroom and had some conversations and created some dialogue, and that's what you have to do. Whether or not you think you're right and they're wrong, doesn't matter. Okay. Go have that conversation. Good job.
Sounds to me like a participation trophy, Alex.
Whatever.
Stop being such a millennial.
Baby steps. Anything is better than nothing, Terry.
Okay. Ed Giordano wants to know, can you see an all-female Final Four like BB6? I feel like that the prospects of this are just about impossible. Correct, Alex?
Yeah, right. The problem is that, you know, you have people
unless
who
Justin
don't
goes
get
home
there
this
with
week.
Together.
Right.
Yeah. Right, because you have Danny, like, you know, not trusting Chrissy and Justin and looking to target them. You have Justin and Chrissy looking to take out Danny. It's going to be tough. I mean, it would have to be some kind of situation where, right, like Danny saves herself this week, Justin maybe goes, and then next week, Morgan wins HOH or something. Yeah, I don't, maybe.
Yeah, Taryn, you know, I feel like maybe it got lost and swept up in the election coverage, but I did not hear from any Morgan fans this week after my impassioned Morgan is definitely going home in the double eviction on Wednesday when I saved her.
You did it. I mean, you intentionally put it out there.
Reverse jinx.
Yeah. You unjinxed it.
I saved her.
That's a charm. I think the reverse of the jinx. It was a charm you cast.
I said 100% she was going home on Wednesday night. So all the Morgan fans can thank me later for that one.
Yeah. I mean, it's a shame they haven't already done it, Rob.
No, I got one thank you for that.
I think she was overshadowed by her sister most of this time. I think, you know, I don't know that there were too many before this week, but I think they're growing. She had a good speech and, you know, be loath to point out that Alex did basically write that speech for her, but she delivered it properly, which is more than you can say for her sister. So
yes.
Yeah, she's on the upswing.
Yeah. All right. Let's do a few more questions tonight. Edmo wants to know, does Shelby have any reason to trust Jason and or Danielle? I think that we talked about that. She's been burned so many times. Alex, can you come up with one reason?
Got to trust somebody if you want to move forward in this game. Mm-hmm. That's the only reason. Yeah. I mean, you have to pick your poison at this point. The problem is, they already look like probably bigger threats for the end game, and they've done themselves no favors by being more active to this point and having nothing to show for it. So you've got a choice between someone who, as much as you've never had any kind of a connection with them, never really burns you, and someone else who it feels like keeps giving you candy and taking it away, or hiding your crackle, literally, as the case may be.
Yeah.
In fact, yeah, like they got more crackle today, last night, and like instinctively, like they don't even know what they're doing anymore. Like Jason and Danny just went for the crackle and hit it.
Why do they only get crackle? Why is
they get everything? Is
crackle to BBOTT as Twistos is to BB Canada?
Well, it's because it's a fall season, right? They've been getting tons of like fun size Halloween candy. It's like, you know, that's part of the theme. And crackle is
the
one thing
at the grocery store now.
Yeah. Well, crackle's the one thing Shelby made a point of saying she loves. So it's just been a contentious point of like, let's get rid of the one thing Shelby loves in this house. But yeah, I mean, then today they returned it to her. It's like, you almost should like, just let it be found. Like, oh, look, it's clean housekeeping must've moved it or something. Like it's not a good look anyway.
Jason,
you slice it.
Jason tried to offer a crackle treaty, in order to get them to target Justin.
How'd that
it's
work?
It's all so silly.
Yeah.
Didn't work.
There are no dogs here. No Harry Potter.
And no crackle.
Yeah.
Okay. Could we just take a moment? I was thinking about this the other day. What does the finale of BBOTT look like? Okay, so we have three people there. I mean, did they make speeches to America? Does America like have an hour to vote? I'm guessing Julie Chen is going to be there, but I don't know if it's a guarantee. I mean, I don't think that they're going to fly all of the players back and do a reunion show. I mean, Taryn, have you done this thought experiment at all as to what the finale of BBOTT looks like?
Well, they have been telling all of the evictees during their exit interviews that they will be seeing them on finale night.
What, on Skype?
Maybe.
It'll be great. We will be Skyping you in on finale night.
No, I think she'll be there. I think all the evicted people will be there. And I think you're probably right. I think we're probably going to see them give a speech at the beginning of the episode. Maybe it'll be like a 2-hour thing, and then they open up voting for an hour and a half or something. And then I don't know what they show in that hour and a half, but
yeah,
it'll probably be a shorter voting window.
They premiere Star Trek Discovery.
That's not until May. So I don't know necessarily, like, it just seems like very expensive to bring and fly everybody out for OTT. I mean, you got to buy plane tickets for what, like 9 or 10 other people. You got to put them up overnight. I mean, that you're easily spending another, $15,000-$20,000 on the finale for what? I mean, nobody is subscribing extra by doing that. It just seems weird. Like, I wonder if they'll come to their senses on this. Like, what are we doing with paying for this finale to fly people? Like, I kind of feel like if they say, if you want to fly yourself here and come to the finale, like, we'll let you come on. But it seems like that it's a huge expense for OTT just to bring people in for the finale, Alex.
Well, they've got to, make sure all the OTT stars come out after they got snubbed by Julia and Austin. I mean, come on. Like, now you really got to double down and make sure they'll get there. But, just because they said, we'll see you on finale tonight, Rob, I think you're reading too much into it, assuming they're going to splurge for
like a montage.
Plane tickets. Yeah, I mean, no, I think it's very, very reasonable to expect them to send, Scott a cross-country Greyhound ticket.
Yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what they
get
do.
Get in that bus, Scott.
I mean, they've saved up the pennies, clearly, with all these comps, the mirrors. I mean, they didn't buy a new mirror. Like, they're saving up the money.
Yeah.
This is what they're saving it up for.
It'll be interesting to see what they do, because it just seems like that is a big expense. And on the regular finale, they don't do anything with the people that, like, it's like, all right, oh, Glenn, Bronte, here they were here too. Wave for
the
camera.
Rest.
I mean, what are they? They're going to do a whole thing? I mean, are they going to have a studio audience for the finale of OTT? I mean, they haven't had a studio audience for one thing yet this season. It just seems, it's weird.
I think there is a studio audience. Yeah, there's like an announcement for tickets, I think.
Okay. It'll be fun to see.
I think it'll be like the only big production of the entire season.
It'll be so drastically different from every other day of the entire OTT season.
Look, if they do make a big fuss about the finale, I think it's a great sign that OTT was a success and that there will be more OTT in the future.
Yeah, hey,
that's,
I mean,
good point.
Stacked and FL just pointed out in the chat. Yeah, they even featured on CNN, the house guest reaction to finding out Trump was president. So that video is going super viral on a level that I don't even know that regular Big Brother has ever hit. So that's pretty cool. And that's good for CBS and for Big Brother OTT.
Yeah. Just to speak to that from a historical perspective of covering this show, I mean, the only other thing that compares to it is the clip of 9/11 where, yeah, Will and Nicole and Monica were shown that days after. And again, it's the same sort of situation where you have these people who are sort of isolated and they're the only people that don't know about this huge news event. I think that most of us have seen that video. How much did that news really overshadow the gameplay on Thursday, Alex? Does it sort of like, okay, did they just go back to their regular lives after that, or did they really spend a lot of time sort of contemplating the future of America?
It's been both. It's been a mixed bag really ever since, where it keeps, popping up into conversation. You can tell it's on people's minds, especially Shelby. Like, Shelby is very, very disturbed by the concept. She's like already said goodbye to her uterus, for example. She found out that Monty was pro Trump, and she said like she never would have aligned with him if she had known.
See, but that's interesting to me, because you have these people who are vying for the votes of America, and you just told them that, hey, this person won an election in America. you know, it's almost like I'm surprised that people aren't more pandering to like, okay, I guess you guys know what you're talking about, America, because they're trying to get the same electorate to vote for them for stuff.
I don't think it's the same electorate. I think you got to know your audience. And I think the audience of Big Brother is not an audience of Trump supporters.
Well, I don't know. And I think also part of what made the video, you know, go so viral and why, you know, it's been great to watch is that these are just natural, like unfiltered react. Like this is like Shelby just reacting. Like she's not thinking on that level, Rob. She's just like saying what comes to her mind. And yeah, like her and Jason have found common ground on a level that they really haven't all season, where they're both kind of, you know, of the same mindset. Like, can we stay in here for another 4 years and, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, it's really funny. Interesting. It's just really interesting to get
saying
sort
they
of,
wish they could have. They wish they could have kept all the Trump people in the House in hindsight, like not evicted the Montes of the world, like just funny lines like that.
Yeah, it's also that they went into the House on September, like, and they've been really sequestered since mid-September. So I believe that they didn't even see the debates or anything like that. Like it's like really wild just how long they've been sequestered. So, you know, any of the things that have come out, whether, you know, Access Hollywood or WikiLeaks, I mean, they don't even know anything. They're just sort of like going off of, I think like shortly thereafter the conventions, I think was probably like maybe a week or two after the Democratic convention was when they got sequestered. So it's just really interesting to probably get their worldview on all of this that they don't know anything from the last couple of months. So just an interesting historical note on all of this, not to get too much into the actual politics of it. So Potato Head wants to know, do you think that Whitney's better move would have been to pull Justin over to the ball smasher side of the house? Going back to Whitney, I know that Brent certainly on his show yesterday was really down on Whitney. That do you think, Taryn, that Whitney could have possibly pulled Justin over to the ball smashers, considering that he's working with Shelby and Morgan to some degree now?
No, I don't think she could have. I think she could have gotten him to evict Danielle if that was a possibility, but that was never really a possibility. And there's no pulling him away from Chrissy and Jason. Those were two of his closest allies, and he really disliked Morgan and Shelby and Alex. So I really would have been asking a lot to try to get her to do that, and I don't think she could have.
Okay. All right. One or two more questions. Brett wants to know, where does Danny and Jason's fake Final Five alliances fall in unnecessary moves that kill your games? Again, a little premature to say that this was a move that killed anybody's game yet at this point. Alex, do you want to speak any more to this?
It's just, I think with everything you do in the Big Brother house, ideally, if you can, with a calm and level head, before you do it, you stop and you ask yourself, what could I possibly gain from this and what could I possibly lose? And when you frame it that way, there was really nothing to be gained. And there was a lot, as we can now see, that they could potentially lose from doing this. So in that sense, very, very foolish.
Okay. Taryn, anything else you want to add on to that?
No, I think that's pretty spot on. You know, it doesn't happen often that people do things completely unnecessary. Maybe Raul is the closest example I can think of somebody that did something really unnecessary and dumb.
I mean, sometimes we see people like create two targets and then decide they want a backdoor and make a third enemy. Like that's dumb, but I would argue that level of indecision, at least like that's someone who's struggling making up their mind. This, like, you made up your mind and it was not a good conclusion that you drew.
Okay. Last question here. Iron Pony Chef, what do you believe the chances are of Justin flipping if Morgan is on the block post veto? Okay. So somehow if Morgan ends up on the block, I mean, it'd have to be by America. I mean, I can't imagine a scenario where somebody comes down and Shelby puts her up. So if by way of America, I mean, and really, how schizophrenic is America going to be in the eyes of this house guest if they're sending Morgan a care package to save her on Thursday or on Wednesday and then putting her up on the block on Monday? But let's just say hypothetically, that's what happens, where we have a bunch of people from the late night jamboree that rally together for this. So Morgan ends up on the block. So the nominees potentially could be Danielle, Jason, Morgan, Chrissy, and Justin would hold the votes to evict. Alex, do you think that they still have the appetite for this come eviction night?
I'd say probably not.
If it holds with the veto?
Yeah, I'd say probably not. I mean, honestly, if you just look at it, it just, they have wanted very badly to continue to work with Jason. Taking out Danielle would go against what Jason wants. And we've seen time and time again that even if they have some differing opinions on certain things, ultimately they have been down to do what Jason wants to do with this thing. So I find it hard to believe that, you know, as much as this day has been a day of shifting and new plans and people having new conversations with people they hadn't really been having dialogue with about the game before, it's hard for me to see them just undo, you know, 50 some odd days of what's been built if Morgan's up there just kind of sitting there as an easy option, especially knowing that, wow, we can just get rid of Morgan. Shelby goes next. And now we did what we always said we were going to do. We're the final four.
Okay. I actually disagree here. I think it's more likely that they go through with it than not, because I think Justin is really on board to do this. He really wants to lock up that care package. And it's, like I said, it's a very good move for him. Very little downside. Chrissy is willing to be on board with that. And she's talked with Jason, and even Jason has said, yeah, you know, maybe I should take Morgan to the final three instead of Danielle. And, you know, all of those things said, if even Jason is considering this move, I think there's a decent chance that it happens.
Yeah,
that's true.
One other note to point out, our intrepid chat room points out that there is a scenario where Shelby would have to nominate Morgan to go up on the block. If Danielle and Jason sit on the block, America nominates Chrissy, and then Justin wins the veto and takes down Jason in this scenario, or I guess any of the nominees. If he took them down, then Shelby would be forced to renominate Morgan in that scenario.
Although if he takes down Chrissy, there is no renominee.
Okay,
and my guess is that Justin probably would take down Chrissy.
If he took Jason down, Morgan would go up, and then it would then potentially be Jason and Justin controlling the votes, which would probably mean, I don't think that Justin would have the appetite to go completely different than Jason on the vote. Would you in that spot, Taryn?
Well, again, if Jason is willing to, and I do think that there's a chance even Jason is willing to take Danielle out over Morgan here, then he absolutely would. And then, honestly, I think he would. I think Justin would go against Jason. I don't think Chrissy would explicitly go against Jason. But even if he did, it wouldn't matter, I imagine. It would, because if that would be imagining that America is on their side. So I think he would still go after Danielle. And if America backed him up, it would still hold true.
Maybe the biggest question mark left in the game, the thing that to me makes everything the hardest to gauge, like, how much does Justin even care about this thing? Because if I felt like Justin really wanted to win this game, it would alter like some of my, you know, looking at some of how I'm framing this. But a lot of the time, I really do feel like Justin just couldn't care if he goes out 11th, 6th, or if he ends up the winner. Like, it's all gravy, baby. Like, I don't know that there's a difference to him.
Yeah, well, I disagree. I think he does care. And I watched him sit there when he thought he was potentially going home, sitting there with Whitney. And he was talking about the game in context of, like, basically, if they vote me out tonight, you know, they better get me a plane ticket because I'm not sitting around. I'm going home right away. That doesn't speak to me as the voice of someone who doesn't care. You know, I think that the voice of somebody that doesn't care is like, hey, if they vote me out, they vote me out, whatever. I'll talk to Julie tomorrow. I'll see LA. I thought that he sounded very bitter about the fact if he got voted out and in that spot, he was going to be very salty, Taryn.
Yeah,
Creole cooking.
No, I completely agree. I think that it's almost, and I don't mean this in a gameplay sense at all, but it's almost like a Dr. Will thing, where Dr. Will in All-Stars, he felt above the game, but he very much cared about winning. I think Justin feels the same way, where I think he feels like he's above the rules. He's super popular. He can eat when he's a have-not, whatever. He's above caring about that little stuff, but he does want to win this game. Yeah. I think that he really wants to win it.
You can tell he argues so much that he doesn't care. Don't care. That you can tell that he cares a lot.
I don't care.
Yeah, he cares. He care. He care. Alex.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. he'd still be taking bathroom breaks during head of household competitions and stuff, though.
Yeah. So, I don't think he feels like he needs to win them.
We'll see if he develops any degree of a sense of urgency at any point. Okay. Like if going into this next veto, we see him just hustling, I'll be like, oh, okay. But I've yet to see him hustle on anything.
I don't think it's about hustling. I think it's about I think he genuinely feels like he doesn't need to hustle. He's above all the petty stuff, but he does feel like it's going to be handed to him. He's going to win.
No, but Rob, you're right. That's a different kind of hustling, and that he's been doing his entire life.
All right. We will see. We'll see how it goes. All right. We have a hashtag.
I saw hashtag whack mirror.
Hashtag whack mirror, like black mirror. Is that what it is?
Yeah, but whack, because it was a whack mirror.
Okay, go with hashtag whack mirror, even though it wasn't something that we said on the podcast. I don't want to get people upset with hashtag not my HOH. So we'll go with hashtag whack mirror. All right. So Kidwell Corner coming up Saturday. Can you give us a preview?
We are going to be talking about kind of some of this week in BBOTT. Certainly, we're going to get into Shelby's plans. We're going to talk some Jambalaya Gang now that that's on the pot and simmering. That's a thing now. So, yeah, look for that Saturday, 3 in the afternoon Eastern. Me, Adam, Aman, Puya, double elimination episode. I'm going to be very, very sad about that, but I'll try to rein in my anxiety and make it a fun show.
Okay. And then Taryn, on Monday, you'll be back with Melissa and John, and looking forward to that show as well. Plus, the both of you will be back together on Sunday for a happy hour sans Jordan Parhar.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be gone.
Yeah, very it might exciting. Even be just like a Taryn and Alex buddy comedy.
Yeah, the Taryn and Alex road trip.
The robot and the kid.
Yeah.
Taryn and Alex on Sunday night. It's like Troy and Abed, but Sunday night. Yeah.
Into that, Alex,
thanks,
or no?
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't part of it. I wasn't Troy or Abed.
I don't care.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, then we've got a lot of great Survivor podcasts for you as well this week. It was 1 year ago today that Kelly Wentworth idled Andrew Savage out of the game on a very exciting episode of Survivor. And today she was my recap guest to talk about what's going on at the merge of Survivor Millennials versus Gen X. You can check that out. Plus, also, I got into your Survivor feedback with Jeopardy 2015 Tournament of Champions winner Alex Jacob. That, too, is up on robinsonwebsite.com. So looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments. And then we'll be back with much more this weekend, starting with Kidwell's Corner on Saturday afternoon, live at what? 4 Eastern, 1 Pacific?
3.
No, I'm sorry. 3 Eastern, 12 noon Pacific. Take care. Sir. Have a good one. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. Take care. Have a good night. Bye.